Hi, this is Brian Studler, writer of number 32, Mr. Solomon, and you're listening to The Blacklist Exposed on Golden Spiral Media.
When I get lucky and achieve fame, I hope to be crazy in love with a toxic genie in a bottle that wears titanium short skirts and long jackets, willing to party up with everybody, singing Piano Man, ensuring my internal flame never goes out. Welcome back to the Blacklist Exposed, everyone. I am Agent Troy Heinrichs.
You're so proud of yourself for that one, aren't you?
I am.
God. And I am Agent Aaron Peterson. I don't know about you guys, but it's a nice day for a red wedding. I'm trying to curl my lip, and it just doesn't move the right way.
Yeah, what the hell, Aram? No Billy Idol? Jeesh.
Yeah, I was really disappointed with that. What? Can they get the rights? What's the deal? Thanks for joining us this week as we discuss number 32 on the Blacklist, Mr. Solomon, which aired April 7, 2016. It was written by Brian Studler, what a cool name, and directed by Eagle Aleson. Show notes and other intel for this episode of The Blacklist Exposed can be found at theblacklistexposed.com.
Holy crap, where did the last 6 weeks go, Aaron? It seemed to go by really, really fast. And so much going on. A couple things came out, right? First off, we had this Elizabeth Keen dossier. It's like a Blacklist encyclopedia. It's got Blacklisters and the cast from season one and season two. A couple things of season three sprinkled in there. It's actually pretty cool. It's like Lost Encyclopedia and September's Notebook from the show Fringe. We actually have a link that you can order a copy over at goldenspiralmedia.com/blacklistprofiles.
Well, while you were on Amazon shopping around, you also might want to check out some music from the show that was released on vinyl. Yeah, a record. They still make records. My brother actually has a huge record collection. The LP was put together with interesting nuggets about the show, features music from the show, including the awesome slowed-down version of Jolene by Dolly Parton. If you are lucky, score one of the limited edition versions in red vinyl to be extra cool.
Yeah, it actually looks really cool, too. Someone said that it doubles as a decoder ring.
What?
Yeah, like you can use the record and there's like secret things on the album cover.
Oh, like if you play it backwards, you're going to hear what's the connection between Red and Liz?
Oh, that'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
They should do that. Throw it in there so someone can figure it out.
I also just got back from Los Angeles, spring break. I actually had the pleasure of stopping by the writer's room of all places.
La-dee-da. What's it like being special?
That's actually really cool. It's on, you know, it's going there to Hollywood. Got to hang out with John Bokenkamp and the gang. They were pretty actually really intensely writing 21 and 22 when I was there. So I did get to see a ton of people, but did get to hang out with the Brandons. Met Dawn DeNoon, saw Dave Metzger. Actually talked to Brian Studler a little bit, who wrote this week's episode. And then, of course, hung out with John a little bit to find out all about this cool stuff that they're doing coming up here as the season progresses.
How is he, which you obviously can't talk about, how is he in person?
Really cool. Very similar to how you heard him on the interview and on the Dembe interview we just had when he jumped in there. Just a real down-to-earth, normal guy. You know, we walked around the Paramount lot and kind of chatted and talked about life in general and day jobs. And yeah, it was actually really, 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 really fun hour.
So very down-to-earth, very, very cool guy.
Yeah. And I think that's why the show is successful, right? You don't have, you know, pretentious people. There's some of the shows that are going on right now on the networks that are having issues based on, you know, egos and things. That John does not have an ego. Very, very classy. Comes across very, very humble and super excited for him that things are really happening for him and his group.
Polar opposite of you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I am a total prick. You're like a megalomaniac. You're like Lex Luthor of this podcast. That's very cool, man.
I did shave my head for spring break, so.
You did not. I didn't have any of those cool stories. I just went to South by Southwest, and I've been traveling like nonstop. I think most of March, I was gone. I mean, I haven't been home much, so it's nice to actually be back and to be talking about the Blacklist again. I can't believe we've got a lot coming up. Everybody keeps touting that how crazy the rest of the season is going to be. I'm very excited. I know you got a little bit of hint about the rest of the season, but you can't talk about it. So hopefully once things come out, then we can go a little bit deeper into it. The one thing that we do want to talk about is the potential spinoff that was announced. But here's what we're going to do is we're going to wait until after we talk about this episode, And that is specifically because there is the possibility of talking about that information might actually spoil current storylines. And we don't want to do that for anybody that hasn't already heard about this potential spinoff, because we don't know what direction it's going. But I definitely don't want to talk about something that might allude to information that will spoil potential storylines. Make sense?
Agree, 100%.
Okay. All right. So, last but not least, podcast awards are around the corner. If you remember last year, you guys helped our show Catapult to be one of the finalists in 2015. This year, we'll probably need your help again. So on April 15th, visit goldenspiralmedia.com/podcastawards for all the details.
Yeah, that'll be coming up later in the week. Now, before we break down this week's episode from Mr. Solomon, we wanted to know from you all, what were the odds of Tom and Liz actually getting married?
All right, over 400 responses in just the past few days to this question alone. And since it really is just a yes or no question, we will share the poll results. Are you ready?
I'm set.
You will be surprised, according to Troy. Oh, I'm not surprised. Over 90% of you, 90% of you, that is 9 in 10 people, said no. Doubt it. Hell freaking no over my dead body. So people said no is what I'm getting. The other 10% of you are just a bunch of hopeless romantics. Don't worry, your prince or princess will come soon enough. Seriously, though, thanks for the overwhelming response. Clearly, you were jonesing for some Blacklist.
I was, that's for sure. I mean, this was a really interesting topic because it could have gone either way. You know, is Tom really reformed? Is he the way Liz actually sees him? Or is he the person that Red clearly stated in this episode what he is? You know, he's never going to be the person you want him to be. So glad to see that the audience is on Red's side.
Or that they don't want them to get married.
That's true.
Do you think about that? I'm in that camp.
All the hate and venom for Tom and the Tom and Liz storyline.
That's where some of the venom is. Right. All right.
Not Tom and Liz storyline specifically.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Exactly. Okay. So why don't we get the party started for this last part of season 3 as we head toward the finale with our new profiling question, which is Sir Aaron.
Who hired Solomon? Who's in the car? Who is in the car?
You can take that two ways. So it'll be interesting to see what people think.
How do you take it two ways?
Well, you could say that Tawny was in the car, Tawny Cypress, who was introduced in this episode.
No, you can't, because they would have showed her face.
You think so?
Yeah, okay. I think so.
All right.
Come on, man. Don't add more conspiracy that is already here. They didn't show up because they're not going to play that card yet.
Okay. Well, it's clearly somebody in Kevlar that was a sniper, so... They showed the sniper. Unfortunately, they didn't show the sniper that shot Red. That's the one we still want an answer to.
Yep.
All right. Well, now finish your playlist and fit into your slim fitting suit, because we're going to pretend to steal a nuke as we discuss this week's case profile.
All right. Story-wise, it's pretty much an easy one. Typically, we have an unrelated case in conjunction with character development. This week, like a Marvel movie, it's all connected. We start with Mr. Solomon's intended execution, ordered by Hitchens, who is inexplicably saved and then hired for a job by a mysterious person in a sweet ride. Who is it? So let's talk about that first. Who do you think was in the car? I mean, I know that's our question, but what do you think?
I mean, your first assumption, of course, is that it's not related to the Cabal, so it's a new player, because the Cabal were the ones that were trying to kill Solomon. So then your first assumption, of course, is Katerina Rostova.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what a lot of people are thinking. I don't know if it's Katerina, but I definitely think it is whoever is behind everything, obviously.
You mean like everything?
Well, like no, the not
whole,
everything.
The whole reason for Red disappearing 4 years, that whole, like this is the big,
wow.
big bad.
No. This season.
Oh, this season's big bad. Okay.
Yes, yeah.
That's why I was asking. I wanted to clarify.
No, not behind the mysteries of life. I'm just this episode. Or just this season. Like the big bad for this season, which I think we're gonna find out about in the next couple episodes. I think we're gonna get actually a face and a name. Maybe by the end, because this is really like a two-parter, right?
Correct. Yeah, there'll be a Solomon conclusion next week, which is interesting. First time we've had a two-parter late in the season. It's always been like episode 9-10. Remember, we had Ansel Garrick was a two-parter 9-10. Mm-hmm. Braxton was a two-parter 9-10. And the director was a two-parter episode 9-10. So that 9-10 seems to be their two-parter window. This will be interesting.
So are you glad that they gave him a stay of execution? That Solomon's going to be around for a little bit longer?
Oh, yeah. I totally love Eddie Gathegi in this role. This is like just delicious to watch him work. And when he delivered that line and he said, you know, and who might you be?
Mm-hmm.
Very, very like twisted, like twirling mustache kind of pictures in my head.
He's just such a cool villain. I mean, he just stood there. Everybody's getting shot around him, didn't even flinch. I like that. That's pretty cool. Because I would cry and wet myself a lot. Like, there would be pee trails. And that's not exciting, right? So he played it very cool.
Which goes to say something about his character, right? Remember when we had the interview with Dembe just recently with Hisham, and he talked about how he made the conscious decision that Dembe wouldn't dive behind a car. I think this is the same thing for Solomon, right? He wasn't crouching. He wasn't jumping behind a vehicle. He just kind of stood there like, okay, they're not hitting me, so I don't need to move. So it just shows the confidence he has, and I think that's what really makes him a great villain.
Mm-hmm. And he's a great villain just because he's cooler than all of us. That's really what makes him great. I would say he rivals Red with his coolness under pressure.
Absolutely, 100%.
Which is why I like him. Yeah, which is why I like him. Well, the threat is initially believed to be the theft of a nuke. Turns out, nope, it's all a ruse to abduct Liz. Did you see that coming, or were you shocked?
Well, when they actually went into the nuclear place to get the isotope protection suit or whatever it was so they could transport the thing, I actually thought they were going to steal a nuke because knowing that it was a two-parter, I assumed they were going to bust up the wedding at the end of it anyway. So I thought the nuke was still kind of a thing in play, and who's to say that it wasn't? You know, I have some real reservations when you talk to that general guy, mm-hmm. because when Harold first talked to him, he's like, you know, just shut up, Harold. Don't worry about it. We got it covered. And I was like, okay, there's something fishy about this guy. And then when you find out that the Rowan character, played by Tawny Cypress, when they're doing the interrogation and she wants this deal, that she is the misdirection,
mm-hmm.
and the general's like, give her whatever she wants. Make sure she's okay. Take, you know, I think that the general's working with the Solomon-Rowan organization.
You think the general is?
It's a possibility.
Oh, I think he was scared crapless. That's what I think.
He could be. It just seemed odd how like he was totally, you know, Harold, you do your job, I'll do mine. Like whenever that happens, it clearly says like something is going on with that guy that he knows more than he's letting on to be, other than national security and all of that jazz. Like there's somewhere he's involved with the plan.
As soon as she was caught, because I thought exactly like Red did, you know, she ran off and on her own, and it was just far too easy that she got caught. I assume that's what it was. I assumed it was misdirection.
Well, and I didn't think about it at first when she ran away by herself. I thought about it when she got in the car, and I was like, you didn't check the battery before you got your getaway car? That was a red flag for me right there.
Red flag. Unintended pun. Unintended. Well, anyway, now they're trying why they're trying to abduct her and who they're is trying to abduct her is up for debate. But that is the crux of the episode. It all culminates in the Blacklist version of Kill Bill. Only the bride is not injured and rides off into the sunset with her man and a sweet grandpa ride. Yeah, that's really the basics of this episode. So really, it was almost all character development. Would you agree or disagree?
Agree. I think this was a introduction to the next storyline.
Yep, I think it was set up.
It was total set up. And so then we'll really get the payoff next week, which will then, of course, set up the runway for the rest of the season. The question becomes who or what organization is truly coming for Liz? Because if you remember the map that he rolled out, the kind of alias SD6 map, mm-hmm. there were different colors on the map, and I thought there was like three different colors. So I'm wondering, you know, we were assuming that there's like the good guys, the cabal, maybe Katarina's organization. So it's interesting to see if there's another organization, because clearly this doesn't seem like it was the cabal. And it was the cabal originally that wanted Lizzie dead. These people want to capture her alive, clearly, mm-hmm. because otherwise all of the red dots on her white wedding dress would have turned red blood rather than just red lasers.
See, and I have a theory about that, but I'm going to save it until we talk about the spinoff stuff, because I feel like it was influenced by that news. And so I don't want to throw that theory out there for anybody that is trying to stay clear of it. Does that make sense?
Totally.
Okay. And because now I have an absolute theory on it, but I'm going to save it until we talk spin-off, the potential, because I just feel like if I bring it up now, that's not fair because I got information based on a spin-off that might make it unfair. Make sense?
That might never happen.
Exactly, exactly. But that's I don't want to mention my theory based on that information and ruin this, and spoil it for anybody that's trying to avoid that stuff.
Right.
Okay, let's get into characters, because that's where all the fun stuff happened. Let's start with music like we've been doing. What music did we hear this week?
We had Someone You Love by Tina Dico. She plays in the background as the wedding preparations are underway. You see Liz sitting there getting ready. Cooper comes in, talks about being ordained online, which apparently is actually as easy to do as they say it is.
Oh, I got a story about that.
Oh, okay.
Okay, true story. Somebody asked me after this episode, it's really not that easy, is it? Yeah, it is. My buddy Rob got ordained over the internet and married me and my wife. And literally in my living room. So I was married in my living room by someone ordained like this. So yes, it is absolutely that easy to be ordained.
Okay.
Yep.
For marriage purposes only.
Well, I mean, it's funny because he's an atheist. My buddy is. I mean, not Harold. So yeah, it's pretty easy to get ordained to marry someone.
I was
yeah.
trying to avoid the whole marriage in a church versus marriage in a court of law conversation, and you're like, yep. Yeah, you just bring religion right in, or non-religion in this case.
I'm just letting you know, man, he's not even religious, and he got ordained. It's pretty easy to do.
Oh, that's funny.
Mm-hmm.
We also had I See You by David Thorne Scott. A little jazz number plays as Aram and Tom are having a talk by Grandpa's Sweet Ride. Really love the scene between the two of them. I thought that was actually pretty cute.
Yeah, it was.
And then finally, my new jam, Sorry TV on the Radio. I listen to Trouble from the Gin like every day. Until now, because Safe and Sound by Electric President plays over the cool escape scene as Liz and Tom make a break for the getaway car as they start shooting and taking out people from behind.
Is that one on Spotify? I haven't looked yet.
Okay. Literally was just watching it again this morning, and I'm like, I got to go make sure it's on the playlist. But speaking of, there is a Blacklist playlist over on Spotify, and we have a version of it in Apple Music as well if you're an Apple Music user. Just go to the show notes page over at theblacklistexposed.com for those links to get the tunes.
Oh, can't wait. That's going to be my new jam, too. I do love Trouble and Gamble Everything for Love. Still hooked on that song. Every freaking week I'm listening to it. It's ridiculous. All right, well, let's get into characters, the real characters, the people. The Major is dead. He dead. That's too bad, because Lance Henriksen is a guy I love, and he showed up and got killed same episode. Man. And he's not coming back, by the way, because he's wrapped in saran wrap and buried somewhere under asphalt.
True feelings. How do you really feel about the Major's death? Liked it? Didn't like it?
I really thought if he was going to die, it was going to be a weightier episode for him. Like, I feel like we could have got a little bit more out of it instead of just capping him off. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, hoping more like a Tom would have taken him out, like a father-son disagreement or something, much like they were having, and I thought it would boil up to maybe Tom shooting him, but unfortunately, we don't.
I like this, actually. I like this better. I like Gina killing him because it wasn't Tom, and she had to choose between the two of them. I like that. It's just I kind of felt like the Major's almost deserving of his own episode. You know, he was that cool a character. The St. Regis program sounds really intriguing. I feel like we could have got a little bit more out of that. But I don't know what's coming up. So, I mean, that's something that was put in this episode to make it flow, to make it a little bit more exciting while they're setting up this wedding shootout. And it worked. I liked it a lot. It's Lance Henriksen. For me, he's one of my favorite character actors out there. I mean, the guy's been working for 30 or 40 years, and he's been in some of the best genre television and movies that are out there. So I just... Anytime you kill him, I'm like, man, could have had more Lance Henriksen. That's really how I feel.
And I was kind of upset by it because when he started talking about, this is the greatest failure of the St. Regis program. When did you learn to love Liz? You have to go back to the Daniel Knopf interview where he was talking about this potential episode of Colonel Bob, who was in St. Regis teaching the kids. And St. Regis was about finding kids who had literally no emotional human attachment to anything. So the fact for Tom to develop feelings, I guess, would be an interesting point in Red's conversation when he says Tom isn't the person you think he is. He can't be reformed. He is who he is because he's part of the St. Regis program. I want to know more about the St. Regis program and more about the Major's network. So that for that reason, I'm kind of sad that he's gone.
Yeah, and he's the only one that called him Jacob.
That's right.
Everybody else calls him Tom. I like that. Oh, well, we'll miss you, Major. I mean, and like I said, he ain't coming back because he's in plastic. He's in plastic.
In the ground. Like the Harbor Master.
Welcome the new character of Rowan, who was played by Tawny Cypress, like you talked about. She was in, what, Heroes, right?
Yes, she was.
You were kind of surprised to see her here, and she's the one that puts him on the wrong trail. Now, you're a big Heroes fan. I'm not. So why is she special to you, I guess?
Well, Tawny Cypress has been on NBC before, not only Heroes, but she's also been in other shows. And she's just a really great character actress, all in all. And I love the fact that she becomes the misdirection in this episode. So to see where she may play into the hands of Solomon and work with the FBI, she could become a mole. She could be part of another organization. It'd be really great to see how this Rowan character plays out in the long term, because she did get immunity, so she'll be in play for a while.
Now, did her immunity actually go through, because wasn't it contingent on actually finding something?
That's what Wrestler said, but I don't know if she was already gone by that time or not, because I still say the General was in on it.
All right. Well, I guess we'll find out in part two, probably. Dembe didn't have a whole lot to do, but he seemed pretty happy to be invited to the wedding, right?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Elizabeth. It was very nice. Very, very sweet. He and Boz kicked some serious ass that wedding ceremony, and if you missed it, our interview, like Trey was talking about earlier with Hisham, was released a couple weeks ago, so be sure to give that a listen. It was in between episodes, so if you've only been listening for when the Blacklist has actually been airing, you might have missed it. Be sure and check that out. I do want to say, for people that listen to it, my microphone, apparently when we were on that blab thing, was not like my microphone. It was apparently my laptop mic, so that's why it sounded like garbage. And I apologize, but that's a great interview, and he's a great guy. He really is a great guy.
Yeah, it was fun. You were fine.
Really? I feel like you just, yeah, no, no, honey, you look fine in those jeans. Is that what just happened?
You never look good in jeans.
That's what, man, you just built me up and broke me down in the same, God, go to hell. All right, Troy, you want to talk about Boz a little bit.
Yeah, so Boz and Dembe were talking with each other. It came across in the concept of a country by the name of Kinshasa, which is now in the current Democratic Congo. I was just curious why they brought this up, because there was the whole military overthrow of the government. I think it was late 80s, early 90s when that all happened. It was very bloody. So I didn't know if this was a reference to the shootout that's about to happen is going to be really bloody, or maybe it was something to say that Boz and Dembe have been working together for quite a while back then, when Riz was about to go missing for those 4 years. So I'm wondering if that is part of it, and it was just kind of like a little Easter egg dropped in there. I don't know. Your thoughts?
I think it's probably just to establish that they've been together for a long time. And most likely, at one point, that Dembe had a sweet-ass ponytail like Boz did. I think that's pretty much all it is. I think it was just a throwaway line to establish they've been together for a long time.
And through the course of that shootout, now Boz looked like he got hurt pretty bad, but he was still moving and shaking, so hopefully it was just the Kevlar.
Not pretty bad. He got hurt like badass guys get hurt. You know, I got a bullet to the leg. You know what? I'm going to walk it off. I'll be fine. That's what he did.
He's like in pain, like Pee Wee Herman is at the end of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. He's like, no. But he gets up and keeps going.
Hey, and there's a connection, because Dolly Parton is the reason that show was on the air. So look at that.
There you
go.
It's
all connected.
All connected.
Yeah, people don't know. Dolly Parton helped produce Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Fun little fact.
And Paul Rubens was in the Blacklist.
Mm-hmm. Hey, all connected.
All connected.
Yeah, no, I definitely think that it was just badass guys walking off that injury. He'll be fine.
All right.
He might have a limp for like a minute, and then he'll just walk it off. Like he'll be like Kaiser Soze. It'll start limping, and then it'll just straighten right up.
It looked like Dembe was maybe caught a little bit too there as he was going down on the corner of the church pew.
He was tired. I mean, he's been whooping somebody's ass for like the last 20 minutes. I mean, he's tired.
Okay.
You know, he's not spry anymore. He's been working apparently since the late 80s, early 90s with Boz, and he's tired of kicking everybody's bum.
Plus, he still has that shoulder from his snowboarding injury.
Oh, yeah. all right, Samar. Not a whole lot went on with Samar this week. But, you know, her screen time was limited a little bit. But it does seem like her and Wrestler might be on the mend, because she threw out a be careful after she saw how protective he was of Liz. What do you think? You think she's starting to forgive old Wrestler for being such a bastard?
Well, it was funny that you mentioned that, because I was thinking the other way. Because when Aram is talking about the playlist and getting in his slim-fitting suit, you get the little look from Samar towards Aram. So I thought maybe, you know, Aram and Samar were kind of on the mend and potentially maybe something be brewing there.
No, I don't think she holds that against him. I think my question, okay, we'll get to your Aram in a second. Wrestler's my question. Do you think she's forgiving him? Because she did say, be careful. Like, that's a universal language of, I care about you.
I think they're on the wavelength of, it happened, what happened happened, and now we're partners. So she cares about him in a partner sense, not in a partner sense, you know.
You mean like,
something like that, yeah.
So you don't think there's a shot they're ever going to get up again?
Oh, I'm sure it could happen again, but if he sucked in bed as she said he did,
ow,
you know, maybe she doesn't want to go there again.
Once again, that's something people say when they're just trying to hurt the other person's feelings. I think he was probably magnificent. His hair probably never even moved the entire time. I bet he was wonderful. Okay, now Aram and Samar, you can talk about that. So you think that there was a few exchange looks and that maybe she's moving a little toward the nice guy in the room?
Potentially. I mean, again, I think John talked about it on his interview where it's like if you get the two of them together, it's like where does the story go from there? Because it's the obvious thing. But it was nice to see Samar kind of do like that kind of chuckle under her breath as she was looking at Aram as Aram was like, I'm trying to fit into my slim fitting suit.
Okay.
It shows that their relationship and their dynamic is back to kind of what it was in like mid-season two. And, you know, the whole get well, bitch, we got partying to do and, you know, Aram your hair and stuff like that. I like the, you needed a little bit of comedy. And I think that shows that the comedy might be coming back a little bit.
Absolutely. Well, Solomon, Eddie Gathegi is, like we said, the coolest villain out on the show outside of Red, I think. And yes, remember people, Red is still a villain. I know some people don't want to admit that, but he is the bad guy. Cool as hell, but still a bad guy. And so is Eddie. And Solomon is just a cool character. The gold watch line was great. The banter outside of the church was great. I'm totally going against my no-compete clause, my contract or whatever line was great. I mean, he's just through and through, even if the line isn't smooth as hell, he delivers it in a smooth way. So what are your feelings going forward? I mean, in terms of bringing Solomon back, making him a bigger part of the story, him being the center point of this two-part episode, where do you think we're headed?
Well, the good thing is that we've established credibility in the way the Blacklist numbering sequence works in past episodes, because we had Berlin was a two-part episode at the end of season one, and he didn't die at the end of that second episode. So just because your name is on the screen doesn't mean you're going to end up dead at the end of the episode. So right. Even though we have this two-parter with Mr. Solomon, it could be just introducing us to who Mr. Solomon is, what is he really about, where does his allegiances really lie, and he could still live and then get shot 8 episodes later like Berlin was. So it'd be great to see how this all plays out for him at the end of the day, because it has, you know, greater implications, I think, to the greater Blacklist mythology.
All right. I just want to see more of Solomon. I kind of want to get more of his backstory. Like, what did he do before he became this assassin for the Cabal? And I'm hoping maybe we'll get that in the next episode, because, I mean, if you call the episode Solomon, I don't think this portion of the episode was really so much about him and the character and their pursuit of him. I mean, I know, yes, it's a focal point of the story, but it was really about Tom and Liz and the wedding and yada, 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 and how all those things were connected and who hired Solomon. I want to get more about Solomon himself. So I would like to get a little bit more backstory on that particular character, because I think he's a great character in the universe, and I think it would be fun to learn more about him.
I agree.
All right, now let's talk about Aram, adorable Aram. He is adorable. Absolutely.
Did you just hashtag that?
I did. Aram. Hashtag Aram adorable. he slaps together a wedding playlist. And if you pause, you can find out some great songs, which apparently Troy did, because he threw out an entire opening based on every song that was on there. And I'm just glad DMX was part of it, because I love that song.
I just couldn't get Dixie Chicks. That was the only one I couldn't work in.
And he had bangles, man. I met Susanna Hoffs once when I was young. Did I tell you that?
Oh, there you go.
True story. Nobody cares, but I'm telling you anyway. When I was young, she is adorable, just like Aram is. He's also trying to lose weight to fit into his houndstooth suit, which I had never heard of. I didn't even know a houndstooth suit existed. I had to Google it. Did you know that?
And what is a houndstooth suit? Is it a label? Is it a actual, like, made of dogs or something? Or
I didn't really look into it. It's a thing.
Okay.
I just basically made sure it was a thing that I heard him write.
It's like an A cut for a dress. It's like a type of, you know,
just a cool
thing.
Looking suit. I mean, it's cool looking. It's an Aram suit. It's not a wrestler suit. I think wrestler would be much more sleek and layered and more closer to Red's style, where Aram is very, you know, unique. It's his kind of style. Google it. You'll see what I'm saying. I'm not a tailor.
Maybe his grandpa wore a houndstooth suit, and it was like in honor of his grandpa.
I got a feeling because, yeah, even the grandpa's car, the sweet grandpa car for the ceremony, he even had that ready. I mean, Aram was just Aram-dorable. Yep. Yeah.
Very sweet.
Very sweet. What did you think about Aram's use in this episode? I mean, he's basically more excited for this wedding than anybody in the wedding.
Yeah, he's got the playlist going. He's trying to order stuff. And the way he takes care of the organist, it's like, you got to be here. You got to be surviving because you got to play, you know. Here comes the bride and the wedding march and everything. I think that he just wants to be the nice guy, the good friend, you know, especially after he, you know, had that allegiance to Liz and the director and tried to save her from the box and the suffocation. This is something that he fought to see happen. So he wants to make sure it's a special day for her.
It was very, very sweet. And protecting that organist when she took one in the air chamber, organ joke, was really sweet, very, very Aram. I mean, he was trying to be a hero. And, you know, I don't know how she got hit and he didn't, but who cares?
Ricochet.
As long as, what's that?
Ricochet, the organ pipes. That's how it happened.
Could be. I felt really bad that the only person that got killed actually was part of the wedding. Like, had nothing to do with any of this. She was actually just worked at the church. I thought that was pretty sad. I'm like, oh God, that's one more thing for people to feel bad about in this universe.
So here's the thing that really bothered me is the fact that they're all sitting up there by the altar, right? Mm-hmm. And they're shooting them while they're still hiding behind like the pulpit and the altar and everything. And yet nothing gets like messed up at the altar until the end of the episode when they're no longer by the altar. Then they just shoot the thing to smithereens.
Well, because Liz was up there, so they can't shoot there because they don't want to hurt Liz.
Okay, I suppose that's valid.
They said it like 8 times. Nobody's going to hurt you. You're good. Nobody's going to hurt you. You're like our bulletproof vest. So everybody stay around Liz because then the bullets won't come this way. I even liked when Solomon called Red and then Cooper gets the call and then he walks over to Red to hand him the phone. I'm like, no, Cooper, you throw it.
Right.
You throw the phone. Don't move from your one safe location and go in front of a window. You toss it. Red, if you can't catch it, that's your problem. Speaking of Cooper, Liz and Coop shared a couple of great moments here. We've talked in the past about how wonderful Harry and Megan are when they play these scenes. They have a really sweet and special chemistry. I think they have a lot of heart. And it feels like, to me, more of a father-daughter relationship than some feel Red and Liz would have. Can you want to speak to that? I mean, do you see what I'm saying?
Well, she actually said that in the episode too, didn't she? Like, you feel like a father to, you know, the closest thing I have to a father, or
yeah.
So absolutely.
Now, do you think that's there to pull back from people having the association to Red as her father, and maybe giving more room for like shippers and that sort of thing? Or do you feel like it's just because it makes more sense?
No, it just makes sense because he helped with her career and got her going and made sure that as her transition as a profiler into the task force went smoothly. Clearly they have some history together. So I think it's just, you know, you've been there for me and taking care of me. Plus the whole Tom Connolly incident. Right, which technically they still haven't had a conversation about. I just want to keep bringing that up.
You're still so bitter.
I am. You're like
when is this going to happen? I wish they would have had it in the church without shootings going on.
Exactly.
She's like,
all right,
let's talk about Connolly.
So, Tom and Liz, you're going to get married, but I want to let you know that even after you tell her to not do something, she's going to do it anyway.
Like a daughter would.
Exactly, like a daughter would.
You, they never listen
she's
to
totally
you.
She's totally going to disappoint me over and over again.
Yeah, she's going to ignore all the good advice. So, just do whatever she wants.
Yeah, and still want that conversation to happen because it was so critical at the end of season 2, but we're way past that at this point, so I'll have to let it go. But yeah.
It doesn't sound like it, because it sounds like you bring it up every episode. That doesn't sound like letting it go.
I was waiting for it to happen as part of the conversation we're in the room.
Once again, that's not part of letting it go. Letting it go means you don't wait for it, you let it You let it go.
Well, I from
You've
this
frozen it.
This
you
point,
let it go.
This point forward, I have let it go because it didn't happen. If it was going to happen, it was going to happen in that scene when he said that, hey, I got ordained and I forgive you for shooting the AG.
We're still talking about it. You didn't let it go.
I'm done.
You're not done. You'll bring it up later. Next week, roughly, let's see, 7 days from now. You know what? I wish they still haven't had that conversation. Look at all the times they had an opportunity to have their blah, 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 which is what you sound like. Charlie Brown's teacher. All right. Well, they had a lot of great moments. I love the conflicting dynamic between her and Cooper and her and Red. Cooper seems like the father she wishes she had. Red seems to me, I know some people think he's romantic. I don't see that part. To me, it seems very much like she's the father that she struggles with, you know, or the father figure that she struggles with. So I like the conflicting dynamic, like, you know, very, she sees these two men very different in her life. And I like that. I think it's a cool concept. And I really like Harry. He did, he was in Batman versus Superman. He had a lot of heart to that too. So he's a great actor to watch.
Agree.
Agreed. Agreed. Okay. And now he's ordained. So he can literally marry anyone, anytime. Aram and Samar, maybe?
By the Church of Light and Energy or whatever it was.
Yes, something like that. I'm telling you, that, it is that easy. Wrestler. Wrestler, wrestler, wrestler. Not only has he beaten the crap out of a gnome, he has now, he and I are simpatico. He said exactly how I feel to Liz about he laid a hand on you. There's no coming back from that. I'm with you, brother. I'm with you. I wish my hair was that good looking. But otherwise, you and I were simpatico.
Hey, I look at Old Testament, eye for an eye. When she came back with a line, it's like, yeah, but I did kind of keep him held up in the bottom of a boat for a few weeks. I thought that was actually pretty telling that their relationship is messed up and you shouldn't be going through with this wedding. So, yeah, I think it's fair. They're getting what each other deserves.
No, I'm still with Wrestler. You raise the hand of a woman. There's no coming back from that. It's just how I was raised. I'm with him. He's my boy. You're my boy, Blue. So outside of that, he didn't really have a whole lot this episode. I mean, he's really just the hero. He's trying to get there in the nick of time, which he did. He did get there in the nick of time. Unfortunately, they were following a false trail for a lot of the episode, but they end up there at the end. And he said, if I can make it there for your wedding, I will. And he technically did.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. Here's my problem, though, is you had the whole first half of the season where Wrestler was in charge. He was the boss man. The fact that he didn't figure out the misdirection or at least think about the misdirection shows that he took a step back in a way in his character a little bit.
I don't know. I mean, he was following the lead, so I wouldn't necessarily say that. I think somebody should have thought about it, but I mean, it's TV. They have to go that route. I get what they were trying to do. And if I was in the FBI's shoes, if I was in Wrestler's shoes and I had a valid tip for somebody we caught and they're asking for immunity or they won't tell us what's what, and they give us that and there's a threat that it could possibly blow up a bridge, yeah, that's the lead I'm going to pursue. He's got to think of the many, not just Liz. So I think he did the right thing, actually.
But if you're on the blacklist and you've been through 3 seasons of this and someone asks for immunity, even as the person in the show, I mean, the audience is clearly like, oh, she's asking for immunity. There's probably something more to this. There's probably a twist or whatever, blah, 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 right? You would think that after everything Wrestler's been through, he wouldn't be like, why are you asking for immunity? Like, what? Who are you working with? Who are you working for? I think that the questioning of the Rowan character was a little bit weak.
Yeah, I disagree with you on that. I think it was he actually went by protocol. He's by the book. I think he went by the book.
Mr. Just doing his job.
Yep. I think he was just doing his job.
Which is why I bring up the question of, because he was put in that position of power at the start of the season, is this a step back then for him going back to being just Mr. Doing My Job?
No, I think he was always just doing his job. So this is part of his job.
Okay.
I don't really know what you're taking a stab at. You're trying to say he's not doing his job as well?
I'm saying that he could have his character should have evolved a little bit from that, and this shows that he hasn't evolved.
Put it this way. If our FBI start to believe that every issue is connected to Liz, I'm going to have a hard time believing our FBI. You know what I mean? I mean, he's following a rational lead. There was a weapon stolen. The general is extremely concerned. There is a person that they arrested. in connection to it, and she's willing to give him a tip about a possible threat. He's got to follow that possible threat to the letter, and that's what he did. So absolutely, I think he's doing exactly what he's supposed to do.
Okay. This is a question.
All right.
Trying to get all defensive and stuff. God,
man. Guy finally agrees with me, and now you got to rip him to shreds? I don't think so. Uh-uh. You're my boy, Blue. All right, Tom. The St. Regis Project. Can I sign my kids up for that? Because it sounds pretty cool.
It doesn't sound very cool.
Doesn't? I think it does. It would make them lethal killing machines. I'm okay with that.
And they'll come after you eventually.
Yeah, but they'll be badass when they do. So, yeah, I'm all for it. I like it. I think we're going to find out more about the St. Regis Project as the season goes on. Do you agree?
I want to know more about the St. Regis Project. I think after, like we said, like the Daniel Knopf interview and talking about it a little bit, I absolutely want to see who else has come out of that program as potential blacklisters or other characters or what have you. It seems like it's a very interesting thing. And could it be done by a Russian organization, a U.S. organization, or the Cabal?
All right. Gina Zany Tacos brings the major to the house, then kills him. Seems like a reversal. But she did say that she wasn't decided on what she was going to do until the last second. Are you surprised that she killed the major?
A little bit. I think I mentioned that I really wanted to have more of a dialogue between Tom and the major and have some decision made there. Mm-hmm. Kind of a little bit of a Mexican standoff then in that case, because you didn't know who was actually going to kill who. I get frustrated a little bit with the Gina character, because this is, I think, twice now when you think about Gina taking the fall for Tom in a way, mm-hmm. because she was the one that was involved with the Angel Station shooting and then says that I've never seen him before back in season one. And now she's here at the same spot, and because she ends up saving Tom once again, I think it clearly shows that she does have deep, deep feelings for Tom. But given who she is and the fact that they had that kind of rustle in the, you know, underwear brawl a couple weeks ago, that she is also not opposed to taking him out.
I think she just has feelings for him, and she realizes that there's not many men that she has actually cared about, so... You know, I do like that as an assassin, she wears crop tops and the tightest jeans possible.
True.
When she goes on an assassination. I like that. Big fan. I like the character. I hope she comes back. I really do.
Well,
I think she's fun.
This was interesting because she's on the phone and she's like, yeah, he showed up just like you said he would. So you assume that she's working with the major, but in true Blacklist style, you have to double think everything. So could it be that she did lead the major there, but did she lead the major there because she might be working for somebody else that wanted the major taken out?
No, I think you're reaching. I think you're trying to make it more. Yeah, you usually are. You're going full Heinrichs on us. I believe that when it happened, I believe she was talking to the major, and it turned out that she's talking to the major. That's what I think.
Okay.
And now, major dead. Goodbye, Lance Henriksen. I miss you. Okay, Tom buries the body, then confesses to Liz. Huh? He told the truth? Has he turned a corner? Has he become a better man? What do you think?
Was he completely honest, though, about Gina?
Yeah, he said it's a long story. I mean, but he alluded to it.
I suppose.
Hey, you're the one that said that omission isn't lying. Remember? Last episode. True story. That's what you said.
Okay, fact. I give it to you there. I just think if he was truly telling the whole truth, then he would have said, hey, and she kissed me.
Yeah, but he didn't kiss back. It doesn't count if he just, it doesn't count. Omission isn't lying, Troy. That's the rule. That's the rule from The Caretaker I learned. Go back and listen, people. That's what he said.
Okay.
Quote, unquote.
All right.
Yeah, so he didn't lie. Now, do you think that he as a character has turned a corner? Like, he is trying to be that good guy that he keeps telling people?
As it relates to Liz, yes.
Is that enough for you?
I think so at this point. I mean, he hasn't done anything that doesn't showcase it. I mean, the fact that he was willing to do the whole Russian undercover thing to find Karakurt, and the fact that he proposed with a dirty washer after he was held in the bottom of a boat for 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, yeah, maybe they're kismet right at this point.
Has there been enough of his character to change the season that you are on board if they were to get married?
From a show perspective, or as them as a character riding off into the sunset kind of thing?
I don't know. However you look at it.
Like, they for the show perspective, they can't get married. I mean, them married kills the show.
Okay.
It's just weird. Then it's like Mr. and Mrs. Smith or something. No, thank you. If they were like end of the series and they got married, sure, fine. Let them live happily ever after. That's okay.
Okay.
But just, it doesn't work curious. If the show continues. No, absolutely not.
I am still on the, he took a hand to her. I'm with Wrestler. There's no coming back from that. I never want it to happen. I will say that as much as I have never been a fan of Tom and Liz, getting back together kind of thing, and I'm still not. I'm still in that camp. I mean, please don't take this as Aaron's changing his tune. Nope. Aaron still doesn't like it. I will say that it didn't bother me at all this episode. I actually thought their moments were kind of sweet.
Okay.
So there you go. That's about as much as you're getting from me in acceptance of that relationship. Still don't want them to get married. Don't care if they have 8 kids. Don't want them to get married. I just think that she should, as a character, I still haven't bought it. But I've talked enough about that, so I'm not going to go on that again. Fun moment with Aram at the church. I really liked the little banter between those two. And Aram actually trying to be very accepting of Tom, even though he's never actually met him.
Yeah, I agree. That makes sense.
Okay, well, great conversation there. all right, and then the wedding goes to hell. Wedding goes to hell.
Yeah.
Okay, Red. He gets very little story this week. It's really Liz's story, which is why she's going last in the character department. It's mostly Tom and Liz's episode. He does plead with Liz to not marry Tom. And to me, as I'm reading this conversation, it seems like he has more of an underlying reason for that than what he offers. Do you agree or disagree?
Oh, there's absolutely an underlying reason there. And we're going to probably learn what that underlying reason is over the next couple of weeks. It's just interesting to see where it's all coming from, because someone's clearly coming after Liz. The question is who? And Red has this really, 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 really great line where Liz is kind of like blaming him for ruining the wedding and blah, 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 blah. And he says, all of this is indeed on me.
Mm-hmm.
Or all of this indeed is on me. I don't want to misquote it. I think that line tells something big. Like, even these people that are coming now to find you because your name, Masha Rostova, has been put out there, that's even on me because of whatever I did. And the what I did, I think, is what is really the series is all about.
So any theories on what it is that he knows about Tom that he's not talking about? I'm still going with, because I have a twisted, twisted mind, and I really...
Because it's Chinatown. I mean, I keep going back to that. They're brother and sister.
Yeah, which, and I know some people are like, well, in Chinatown, it was father and daughter. Yeah, well, you get familial connection. That's what we're saying.
Right.
I'm kind of with that. I think it would be bold. I don't know if TV could do it, because that's more of an HBO kind of thing, and I know it's sick and twisted, but it would mess your head up, man. It would be great.
Yeah, I mean, if truly they're saying, like, could we get away with that? Then I thought they could they get away with that would be Red turning into the mother. But yeah, could they be brother and sister? We were kind of teasing that even with Diego and or Wrestler and Megan. There I get it again. Wrestler and Liz, you know, that they could have been brother and sister because of that photograph. If you remember, there was that photograph of the girl and the boy next to each other, and we were always wondering who was the boy. So it's a great possibility, and I think it would be fantastic if it came out that way. Gross. Yep. And sick, but at the same time, it's fantastic.
Well, but see, I'm of the mindset it's not gross and sick because they didn't know. You know, they didn't know, so they would be like, "What?" And it would be kind of, I don't know, kind of cool, kind of very old boy, very cool. But, I like it.
And they could be half brother and sister too. It's not to say that they're full biological,
right? Does that make it less gross? I don't know what the rules on that are, but
I don't want to know.
I don't want to know. And we're probably grossing somebody out right now. Like, you guys are disgusting. That's fine. That's fine. But it is something that I think would be a really just disturbing twist.
Well, and it goes back to the whole, like, Liz, no, I am not your father. I am Tom's father.
Oh, apparently every theory we have is really disturbing. I like that.
Well, think about it, right? He's in love with Katerina Rostova. So Katerina Rostova is Masha Rostova's mom. And somehow Red and Katerina...
gets involved in the St. Regis program.
Potentially, right? So Red and Katerina sleep together and have a kid. That's Tom. And then her dad, who she actually did kill, her dad and Katerina Rostova made her. So they are half-brother and sister. Totally plausible.
Oh, in your theory, you're saying Red is Tom's dad.
Which I've had that theory before.
Well, your theories go so... I mean, you've got like 8 different theories. I don't even know which one you believe anymore. I can't keep up, Tom or Troy. Troy, I'm going to call you Tom.
There you
That's
go.
What I'm gonna, I can't keep up.
Yeah. So one of the potential theories would be that Red is Tom's dad. And that's why when Tom delivers that line and says, "Oh, are you upset because I didn't ask for daddy's permission?" Maybe it wasn't about Liz being, you know, you're the Liz's father. It's I didn't ask your permission as my dad.
I don't see it that way, but I get what you're saying. I like it. I like it.
The line could work that way.
Mr. Out of the Box. So get back in the box. Get back in the box.
Half brother and sister.
All right. Well, Red figures out, man. Piss so many people off. Oh, I'd love it. He figures out the double cross and leads the search to protect the church, begs Wrestler to get to the church in time. We do get to see a fun bit of Red and Solomon squaring off on the phone. I really enjoy that. I really want to see a face-to-face confrontation between the two of them. Agree?
Well, they were face-to-face in the airplane hangar, remember?
Yeah, but I want more. I want a real, just bare-knuckle brawl between these two. Of words. I mean, not of fighting, of words.
You got to have them sit down and have a fine meal, like make some kind of negotiation, some deal.
Like a Heat moment. You ever see Heat where you got De Niro and Pacino at the table? That's kind of what I want, yeah.
That'd be definitely awesome.
Mm-hmm. Those two just, fantastic. There's not really a whole lot else with Red, but there is that, we'll talk about it when we talk about Liz. This little sister has one hell of a day. Just a bad day. And she could have used a little Hattori Hanzo steal by the end of it, I must say. Kill Bill reference. First, she tells Red, no matter what, she's getting married today. When you had this conversation, do you think maybe she should have listened to Red a little bit here? Or this is pretty much what you expect of Liz at this point?
When Red's imploring her not to marry Tom at that point? Begging.
Begging.
No, because if she would do that, then everybody would be like, oh, look, she's just flip-flopping again, because last week she hated Red, and this week she's agreeing with Red. And so I think that at this point, she's at least being consistent from episode to episode to say, no, I'm not going to do what you tell me to do. So I like the fact that she's going through with it.
And then, because after he begs her not to, she tells him not to come, which, you know, she already invited him, then she disinvited him the same episode. That's sad.
Which is now the people that are all the, you know, they hate emo Liz because of that, are jumping out of the bandwagon.
Man, there's some people that got really upset about that because, you know, it's Liz flip-flopping to a degree. I want to point out, there was no resolution to the caretaker's some things are unforgivable thing that we talked about. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Were you bummed about that we kind of just moved past it, or?
Well, she technically could still be unforgivable at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just because he's invited to the wedding and now he's uninvited to the wedding doesn't mean that she's technically forgiven him, but you could still be at the wedding, you know.
Do you feel like some people were putting too much emphasis on that? Like that's supposed to mean that they aren't talking, when really it's just kind of just letting him know, you know what, I'm never going to forget about this.
Right. That's exactly what it was. To take it deeper. I mean, they even have that conversation. They're sitting there up at the altar having the you know, hey, you know, Lizzie, your mom is dead. He says that very specifically. Your mom is dead.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a direct quote, direct to Liz. So if he's lying, then that would be a lie if she is alive. Unless, of course, it's the, you know, well, dead to Red because that's the information Red has, blah, 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 blah. But he said very blatantly, your mom is dead. She's like, well, if my mom's dead, then who's coming after me?
Exactly. Who is coming after him? And that's something I think, like I said, because of the spinoff thing, we got to wait to talk about, unfortunately. But we've got some theories, and I do think it's not Katerina Rostova.
Right.
I do think that.
Katerina's sitting right there.
Yeah, we thought about... it took me a second. I hate you. Oh, that took me a second. Okay. I think we've been led... Oh, man, longtime listeners, I hope you got that, what he just did. I can't even think now what the hell I was going to talk about. So I think that we have been led to believe that it's Katerina Rostova is the person behind this, that sent the painting, that is after Liz, when actually it is someone else. It's actually not Katerina Rostova. Which I think is a great notion of pulling the wool over our eyes, because we've all kind of been led down that way. And I do think we're going a different direction. There is a mention, one of our listeners, I think it was Crystal, pointed this out in our Facebook group. about the slow motion in church when Red arrives. Now, I took this the first time I watched it as, because he basically shows up, he's got a gun in hand, Liz turns to him, and then starts slowing down. Everything slows down, and he says, "I'm sorry, Liz," and it kind of, it's very slow like that. Did you get anything more out of that other than her being fearful and, oh no, my wedding is destroyed?
Yeah, it's a rush of emotion at that point. She's overwhelmed. You know, she's got the pregnancy. She's been standing up there a long time. It's probably hot. I don't know. But I think it's truly just that. It's, I told you not to come. Now you're here. Because you're here, my day is ruined, partly because you're here, but also because you obviously are here because there's an imminent danger coming. I think she's just overwhelmed with emotions at that point, and she was kind of in that kind of fainting stage.
Yeah, I took it the same way, too. I mean, some people, I think, are seeing more in that. But I also think we have a tendency to take to look deeper into some things. We probably should. We've talked about that before. That's my opinion. It could be more. Maybe it's a flashback to something that happened to her. You never know.
Never know.
What did you think about the moment where she just got all, she got some gumption and walked down the aisle to grab the duffel bag and bring it back?
That was a great scene. She just like up and stood there, and it was all the red lasers are pointed on you, and you know that they can't take her, they can't kill her. So clearly she's more valuable alive. The question now becomes, why is she more valuable alive? Does she have information? Is there more stuff hidden in her stuffed animals back in her room? I don't know. But at the same time, she's going to get ammo. So you would think that they would do something to stop her from getting the ammo back to them. But again, if you're outside, maybe you don't know that there's ammo in the bag. We know that as the audience. So I can let that pass.
But, yeah, and you've got one job. Don't kill the pregnant girl.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the one thing you're being paid to do. I got a feeling that they're not going to shoot at the pregnant girl.
Right.
It was great, and I thought it showed a real strength to Liz, and you know, some people haven't been a big fan of Liz's character this season because of some of the emotional stuff. Let's keep in mind she is also a pregnant woman, and she's going through a lot and has a lot on her plate, and I'm okay with most of this stuff. Not all of it, but most of it.
Yeah, I've been okay with most of the season 3 stuff in comparison if we look back to season 2, and then we know how season 2 ended, so clearly I think we just have to let it ride and see how season 3 ends out.
Absolutely. And I had a lot of fun with this episode. I actually thought it was very good. And that kind of does the character stuff. We're going to get into some other stuff. There's a lot more of the show to come, so don't leave yet. But overall, now that we've talked about all the characters, all the story elements, what did you think about this episode?
I thought it was a great way to come back, set up some new runway. The Blacklist has done a really good job of having mini 8-episode kind of character story arc kind of stuff. So this clearly sets up we are now back into a mythos 3 to 4 to 5, 6 episode kind of story. And I like that when I know that there's longer road ahead versus just the standalone week to week stuff like we had before the break.
Yeah, same thing. I do, even though this was more character stuff, which normally I don't love. And I've spoken repeatedly about the whole baby. I've never seen a show where introducing a baby is a good thing. And I haven't loved some of the focus on that throughout, you know, the last 6, 7, 8 episodes where it's like in every episode, it's, you know, we're planning a baby shower, that kind of stuff. I actually didn't have a problem this episode. I actually thought it was well handled. It was enjoyable. We got to see a lot of emotional highs and lows for the characters and, you know, just seeing everybody come together for the wedding, how they actually feel about the wedding. You know, seeing some real dynamics represented, I really liked, especially with Russer saying what a lot of the audience has felt in terms of Tom's character with Liz. And I think they handled it pretty well. I actually thought it was a really good episode. I had a lot of fun with it.
All right. Well, we'll have to see.
The ending shootout was great.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
And we got comments about that, of course, from all of you, the fans, coming up in just a bit.
Absolutely. As well as we're going to talk about that spinoff we've been avoiding. All right. Well, show's not over. Don't go anywhere. But please remember to download the Blacklist Exposed app for iOS and Android. And be sure to go even deeper into the mystery of Red Reddington by visiting our partner Blacklist site, theblacklistnbc.com.
Also, quick note, leave us a review on iTunes or Stitcher. Let us know how excited you are that we're back, as well as the Blacklist being back. Again, goldenspiralmedia.com/iTunes. Go ahead and click on our logo there and leave a review.
And we'll be right back with this week's Red Rhetoric after this.
You go through there, it's 1960.
Stephen King's time travel thriller, 11-22-63, is coming to Hulu. and Golden Spiral Media will journey down the rabbit hole with 112263, A Look Back. Join Wayne Henderson and Troy Heinrichs as they journey through the obdurate past. Life turns on a dime. So join us at 112263podcast.com.
Welcome back to Red's Rhetoric. This is the part of the show where we play two scenes that features Raymond Red Reddington and one of his fancy stories or discussions, and you get a chance to vote on which one you think was the best this week. Our first selection this week comes when Red implores Lizzie not to marry Tom.
What brings you here? You need an update on the Solomon case?
I just got off the phone with Agent Navabi. She thoroughly briefed me on the situation.
Oh, then you're here for the wedding.
No, Lizzie. I'm here to ask you, to implore you. Please don't do this. I'm telling you, no matter what you believe, Tom is not the man you think he is.
You're wrong. You don't know him.
He's a criminal.
No, he's changed.
Men like Tom don't change. You're attempting to build a life with a man who is fundamentally dishonest.
No. I am attempting to build a life with the father of my child. A normal life with two parents who love one another. With everything you know about me, can't you see that? Can't you see how important that is to me? To my child?
You were wrong about him once. What makes you so sure you're not wrong this time? Do you really want your child to pay the price for that mistake for the rest of his or her life?
Get out. I want you to go, please. I don't want you here.
Our second clip occurs when Red and Mr. Solomon exchange words at the church.
Yeah.
You know why I'm here. Send her out.
It's curious. I thought you were the cabal's most loyal soldier, and yet here you are under the patronage of a new benefactor.
I was loyal to the cabal, right up until they tried to kill me. I'm totally violating my non-compete agreement, but what the hell?
So where do we go from here?
I was instructed to deliver Masha Rostova to my employer, and that's what I intend to do. Send her out, and this can all be over.
So this is your big plan? An assault on a building filled with armed FBI agents. Honestly, Matthias, I expect better from you.
First of all, you and I both know that you are outmanned and outgunned. The plan was to grab her today no matter where she was, grocery store or house of God. It makes little difference to me. And for the record, I take no offense that I wasn't invited.
Came together rather nicely. They went with ruby fringed tulips and pink peonies. You'd be impressed.
I'll tell you what then. I'll call you back in a couple of minutes, give you some time to consider my offer. And then I'm coming in to check out the flowers myself.
Which was your favorite this week? If you feel strongly that Liz and Tom should not get married, vote red beg. Or if you like tulips and peonies for a wedding, vote red flowers.
Okay, Special Agent Intel, before we get into your thoughts, we're going to talk about the spinoff. If you are one of those people...
Potential spinoff. Has not been picked up, has not been confirmed.
Right.
Potential
There's spin-off. Basically a backdoor pilot that's going to air on May 12th, and there has been some news about it, which may possibly interfere with potential storyline. So it may give some clues as to what's coming up. Now, the reason that we wait until the end of this show to talk about it is because we don't want to ruin it for anybody that's trying to avoid that. And I know plenty of people that are trying to avoid it. So here's your fair warning. Skip ahead a few minutes if you don't want to hear about it. Because we still got feedback from you guys to talk about. So definitely skip ahead 5 minutes, I'd probably say, and you won't have to hear about it. Okay? So you've been fair warned. Dun, 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 dun. That's it. That's all you get. Okay.
I wish somebody would have fair warned me before all this stuff started coming out.
Yeah, me too. Well, I'll be honest with you, because I kind of wish I wouldn't have seen it now.
That was my first reaction. Like, my first question for you? Like, what are your feelings that the marketing engine is doing what they're doing with this?
I am as excited as I am that there's a possibility for the Blacklist world to expand, because I do love the world. The one thing I don't like is that it came out before the episode actually aired. If I really wish the suits or whoever in charge had held off on a press release, or Hollywood Reporter had held off on running the story, whatever, until the May 12th episode where it actually airs. Because for me, it felt like it really gave away where the story's going.
Yeah.
I thought the story was going, I completely shifted where I thought it was going because of this information.
I agree 100%. And that was where I was at, because when we were going through this episode and you're seeing some of the characters that were in this episode, because once the story was released that the May 12th episode is going to be this quote unquote backdoor pilot, that then they started going, oh, this person's going to be in it. Oh, and this person, and this person's, and it's like, really? Like, mm-hmm. I don't need, thank you for telling me that the May 12th episode was this backdoor pilot, but don't give me the casting information then. Save the casting information until after May 12th, because it literally could make you think certain things are going to happen to your characters. And then it leads to a whole other concept of, well, is it a prequel? Is it a postquel? Is it a back to 1990? Like, how young are these people going to be? And it adds so much noise to the conversation that it just detracts from the existing show, which is what I was really frustrated with, because I didn't want to detract from the existing show.
And here's, we're going to tell you. Okay, so here's why it's leading people away from what, because I think we were both on board. It's going to be Katerina Rostova, right?
Yep.
Going to be Katerina Rostova. This option never even occurred to us. Famke Janssen has been cast as possibly, the rumor is, Tom or Jacob's mom in the series.
Tom slash Jacob, not or Jacob. It's not like Jekyll and Hyde or something.
I meant or as in however you classify him. However you classify him.
So,
and the seeming antagonist in the same vein as a Red and Liz relationship.
Which is why people are saying potentially Tom's mom.
Right.
Because of the whole Red's Liz's father concept.
Right.
Right.
So we know that. Famke Janssen, if you don't know, she played on the top in GoldenEye. She was Jean Grey in the X-Men film. She's a great actress. She was in that, what was that show? It was on Netflix. I can't remember the name of it, but it's a really twisted show. Hemlock Grove on Netflix.
Yeah, the vampire one, right?
Yeah.
Weird
show, but she was great in it. She's a really fun actress to watch, and I'm glad that she's going to be part of the Blacklist, because I love her. I really do. I adore her.
Well, and she was most recently on How to Get Away with Murder as the female lawyer lady friend for Viola Davis's character. Yeah.
If we can get her on the show, I would probably melt, because I love her.
She's great. She's great.
Yeah, she's great. But that information came out, and obviously it's not confirmed. I don't even think really it's NBC's doing. I really just think the information came out. And because of that, now I'm completely looking in a different direction. Like, oh, that was all a ruse. It wasn't Katerina Rostova. It was this character. That's who's behind everything. That's who's in the car. That's who Solomon is working with. Really, really blindsided me. And I don't think it's the show's fault. I really just think it's Hollywood Entertainment News, and that's how they do things. They spoil everything. And that's, unfortunately, I think, a big reveal that wasn't meant to be revealed yet.
Right, exactly. And I think the issue here is that they also said that not only is she going to be in this backdoor pilot on the 12th, but we're actually going to be introduced to the character a week before the episode that is going to be considered the backdoor pilot. So now we have this information that she's in multiple episodes, which makes you go, okay, maybe it isn't Katerina's mom that's going to be doing this entire part of season 3.
Right.
Wah, wah.
And we have information that Ryan Eggold has signed on to star in this show if it goes to series.
And then you're like, oh my gosh, he's gonna die in this episode. What are we gonna do? Is this gonna be a backstory? Is this gonna be a new story? Is he gonna leave Liz at the altar?
Well, no, it's basically, I mean, now
I don't have a response now.
I don't think that there's any chance Ryan's gonna die. Before, I had a possibility maybe Tom will get shot, maybe that'll be like how the season ends. Don't think it's possible now, because he's already signed on to still to be part of this, should it go to series, as well as come back to the Blacklist. I mean, that's part of his deal.
Right.
The way I understand it.
And so people immediately are going like, oh, he's going to die on this show to be on this show. No. What they could end up doing, which would be really fantastic if they
I don't think anybody's automatically thinking that. I think they're automatically thinking
there's a lot of people thinking that.
Why would he die to be on this show? That makes no sense.
Because if you leave one show, you're on another show. That's what most people think.
Why would they think he would die to be on the other show? He'd still have to be alive to be on the other show.
Because you're going with the fact that he's a blacklist number. Like, that's why I mentioned the concept of just because you're a blacklist number doesn't mean you're going to die. Because a lot of people think that if you're a blacklist number, you're going to die.
And oh, Solomon, you're talking about.
Tom's been a blacklist number too.
He's not going to die. If you're going to go to the series, you're still going to live, which means now we know Solomon's not going to die.
Which is the other frustrating part, because you're like, Mr. Solomon, two-parter, yeah, he's going to die like Luther Braxton and the director and dropped out of a plane, and well, now he's on a new show, so he can't die, so it ruins all the excitement from these two episodes.
Yeah. I got confused about whatever you just said.
Unless he does die, and then that makes the new series a prequel.
I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that's going to happen, because the way I understand it, Ryan Eggold would still be able to pop into the Blacklist, so I think it would be running cohesively with that show.
Which is,
I think they'd be the same universe.
Which is what I'm hoping for, is that it's going to be more like they would do Once Upon a Time and Gallivant, and then they had like Gallivant 11, or they had Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. filled in with Agent Carter, filled in with more Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm hoping it's more like that, like it's a 10-episode Blacklist, a 10-episode spinoff, 10-episode Blacklist kind of run.
It's possible. And the other casting, Eddie Gathegi, like you talked about, will be part of this show should it go to series. So Mr. Solomon would be part of it. And Rowan, who was played by Tawny Cypress, will also be part of that show.
Which I did not know she was going to be in this episode until I saw her. And then I was like, damn it.
Yeah.
I was really, really pissed off that she showed up this week, because that's what led me to believe that maybe it was just Tawny Cypress's character in the limo and said, hey, come with me, I got this great idea. And it didn't have to be somebody bigger like Famke Janssen, who assume now maybe Famke Janssen is the one that's actually in the car.
Yeah, I assume.
Frustrated is what I am right now.
I am too. It really was, I mean, not a bummer because I'm excited about the news. I think it's cool that the Blacklist is it's that popular that they're going to expand it. I think that's great. I also think that means that the NBC brass has seen whatever's coming up, and they're really excited about it. They think it's worthy. And that's great news to me. I think that's fantastic. It's just a matter of how it came out. And I'm not blaming the network. I'm not blaming the show. I mean, I know how Hollywood news works. A lot of times they try to keep a lid on it, and somebody behind the scenes spills because they think it's cool to let that slip. And it just ruins it for everybody. I really don't think the show was trying to let that come out.
No, but I think it does jeopardize the enjoyment of the current season.
It threatens our anticipation of things to come, yes, because I think it completely shifted my mindset of where the show is going, yes.
Right.
Absolutely.
Shame on us for using the internet.
Yeah, I got to stay off it, man, forever. So I'm excited to see where it goes. I really am. I'm looking forward to what's coming up. The one question that we got to ask in terms to the Blacklist Exposed, we've been asked a lot by listeners, what does that mean for the Blacklist Exposed? And I guess the answer right now is we don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know what's going to happen with this show.
Until it's picked up as a full season or partial season or whatever. Obviously, we'll still do the Blacklist Exposed for season 4 because we know that that's confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then we'll just have to see, like, timing schedule-wise, is it something that we could take on and do 2 at the same time? That's why I said my hope is that it's a partial season kind of thing, like a filler, smaller, and then we can potentially hopefully do that as well as part of this sequence.
Yeah, I mean, there are different ways. If they aired them together, maybe we could do like just a joint podcast for both of them. I don't know, or split it up, and you know, we'll see when it actually comes to fruition. As of right now, it's still potential.
Right, and I'm excited. I, like I said, I'd love to see this universe expand. There's so many stories, and we're obviously getting the expansion of the stories in the comic book from Nicole Phillips, and The Arsonist has been really great so far. I think issue 8 just dropped as of the recording of this episode. I absolutely believe that there is so much story, both forward and backward, that this universe could go on for quite a while.
Absolutely. And same people are behind it. So
yes.
That's good news. That's exciting. And some people are like, well, can they handle 2 shows? Trust me, there's a lot of people on TV that handle a lot more than two shows. Dick Wolf did like 18 Law and Orders at the same time. So it'll be fine. I'm not worried about that at all.
And now he's doing like 18 Chicago Hopes or whatever at the same time.
Well, I heard there's a new Law and Order coming out too.
I heard that, yes. Yeah. Excited.
Okay. Well, it's exciting news, and we'll let you know more as we hear more. I will tell you that whenever we talk about the spinoff, it'll always be at the end of the podcast because we don't want to if it is going to affect any potential storylines, because right. We don't want to ruin it for anyone.
If you live in the middle of nowhere without the internet and do not know anything about it, just to protect you and your innocence.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't know this stuff. I mean, they don't pay attention. So that's why we waited. We didn't really want to ruin it for anybody that didn't want to be ruined.
And final statement on it is very clear. Not upset at the writers. I think it's awesome that they're getting more work and more stories.
Mm-hmm.
Little bit upset at the network for allowing this to come out before these episodes started airing. Really,
not necessarily at the network, at whoever.
Well, really upset at the marketing department from the network for allowing it to happen.
Well, no, I don't know if it was actually marketing. I said that. I think it could have just been someone behind the scenes accidentally let it slip and the Hollywood Reporter ran with it.
Well, it's like, I suppose.
However, you're mad at whoever let it come out.
Yeah, I'm mad at whoever leaked it before the May 12th episode. Like, the May 12th episode could have been a press release. Hey, this week's episode is going to be a blah, 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 you know, as introducing the May 12th episode, which they could have waited.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, we're talking 4 weeks. Is the news really that important? It's 4 weeks away.
It's just the way Hollywood news works now, man. I mean, every casting thing comes out and you get spoiled for everybody because it's, you know, once contracts are signed and people, you know, things get announced behind the scenes and they like to leak it because that makes for good news stories.
Well, it builds up the buzz for the upfronts in mid-May for the advertisers and yada, yada, yada. We get it. Yeah. We know.
Well, I mean, plus entertainment sites are desperate for any new news, so they will run any story they can. And
especially this time of year.
Yeah.
During pilot season. Yep.
Just happens. All right, let's get into your feedback. So now to hear from you all. Ready?
Ready.
Doc H is up first. Not the 1 hour action adventure. This is in regards to the most recent episode. Not the 1 hour action adventure drama I wanted to see as a spring return following a winter hiatus. 44 minutes of airtime, the first 40 of which were horrible cliche writing and acting. Ouch. Don't agree with you.
Come on, Doc.
Don't agree with you. But, hey, we respect everybody's opinion.
Yes.
However, the final 4 minutes were pure cinematic gold as far as cliche writing and acting go. The whole slow-motion gunfight to escape the quaint church wedding was about as clever as you can get with a particular genre we know as the Blacklist. Think 60s to 70s bloodbath shoot-em-ups. Everybody got their slow-mo tiger shot close-ups with their pistol, shotgun, rifle blazing away. The appropriate number of bad guys were mowed down in the senseless rush to the one bottleneck that should have won that particular battle. As many cliches as they pressed on us in the 44 minutes, they broke a few standing cliches too. First, like Turner and Hooch, where you never kill a dog, they shoot the saloon piano player. What? Or in this case, the church organist. Second, you never let the good guys off scot-free. Liz and or Tom should have had some major battle damage in the egress. At least pop a cap in wrestler's ass to satisfy the haters and me. Thirdly, and my greatest concern is that Boz got too severely dinged. Hopefully he took it in the body armor. That is the only worry for the next step, that we will lose Boz. I think Boz is going to be fine. You keep saying Boz. It's Baz, right?
I think it's depending on what part of the country you sit in, bag or bog.
If we do, he will become the official Hooch in the Blacklist saga. He isn't pivotal, but he is a keystone in the foundation of the saga. I knew we were going to have great cinematography at some point because Eagle directed, and he does great legendary slow-mo combat scenes in modern pieces. Cheers, Doc H.
I could see Doc's point as far as coming off of a break and it being a little bit kind of slow at the beginning and kind of setting up and then having everything kind of in that last 8 minutes of the show. Mm-hmm. I could get behind that a little bit. At the same time, I was just excited for Blacklist to be back, so I kind of let it slide for the first 40 minutes also. I just wanted to see my characters. I wanted to enjoy my stories. I wanted to hang out and have a cup of coffee with my friends. And because I got a cool shootout scene at the end, it was a bonus.
I didn't let anything slide. I really enjoyed the episode. So there's that. What are you going to do? And you know what? I'm so glad that Blacklist is back, because if I got to watch one more stupid presidential debate on a Thursday, I'm going to start my own cabal.
No doubt. Andrew wrote in. He said, while this episode was great, there are some things I did not like. One thing that irks me is who would kidnap Liz at this point? Not her mother, who appears to be really dead. Perhaps her father, but why? Wright had told her previously that they were coming to get her, meaning the Cabal, perhaps who wanted information from her. But that information could she possibly have, especially after the fulcrum is already out there? Another mystery is why did Gina and the Major arrive at that particular time? Gina has now killed her boss and source of income unless he gave her a major sum of money to find Tom. That part seemed very contrived.
That's actually a good point. But she did do the diamond heist, so maybe she's got some cash from that.
That's right. Well, to be continued, personally, I don't like Solomon. I think he's a psycho who needs to be executed by Dembe.
Whoa.
I think Dembe does need to get his revenge, but I actually thought that Solomon might be successful, and he still actually might be in kidnapping Liz. It sort of seemed like a convenient way to usher Megan Boone off on her maternity leave by having her be kidnapped. No one can find her. We know she is safe, but that becomes the end game of the season, finding Liz.
I do want to say, I think we alluded to that a long time ago, that that would probably be how they would get her off the show for her pregnancy.
Right. Yeah. And setting up the spinoff, I'm honestly not sure with the descriptions I've heard about when Tom would have developed this mysterious relationship with this woman since the Major picked him up when he was like 12 or 13. Now for the pet peeves. They go to the motel to get the woman terrorist, but nobody anticipates security, and there's nobody waiting outside.
Totally agree. Totally agree. That was, like, does the FBI need more funds? I mean, what? Like, why aren't there more people guarding all around this perimeter?
Exactly right. And they even said, like, do you have somebody on that back door? And I thought Samara was supposed to be watching it.
I will say, seriously, if it's the threat of a nuclear weapon, they would have so many people in that general area. But, I mean, you know, they only got so much money for the episode. What are you going to do?
Ah, and I wonder, so I'm just curious, that brings up a good point, so I have to bring this up now, because now it's like turning in my brain, and I can't let it go. So, if Samar was supposed to be covering the door to the parking lot, and then Wrestler chimed in and said, Samar, are you in position? And she says, yes. Does that mean she wasn't in position because she was able to escape out that way?
Say that again?
Oh, no, you know what? I'm actually going to detract. Never mind, because she was guarding the door that was the escape to the parking lot, and then Rowan actually went out a different way because then Wrestler had to backtrack down the hallway.
Right.
So she went out a different exit. Okay, never mind.
Right.
Okay. All right, so the Major picked him on a San Marino terrorist, blah, 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 blah. Please, do all cops do this or only cops on TV shows? Go in They go in heavily armed, but let them get out. Plus, they made a point of having someone at the door, but she left through the door anyhow, which I think we just talked about, but I don't think she did. Finally,
and I did check with a cop friend of mine, and yes, they would have had everything covered.
I agree. Finally, Solomon shows up with 30 mercenaries, and after something, 30 mercenaries who were heavily armed and heavily armored, just to make a point. So he's got some money somewhere. 30 mercenaries after something of a firefight, Wrestler is able to kill one of them and walk in. I have to agree with this. This is my one nitpick of the episode. So Wrestler comes in through the front door. And then as they're coming into the front door, as they leave the front door, are Tom and Wrestler now shooting to clear a path?
Yeah.
Like, how did they, like, did they all go to the back of the church to come in through the sanctuary? And then some of them, after they got cover fire at the front of the church, it came back around to the open. I don't know. It was a little bit weird.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's TV stuff. You have to swallow some disbelief. It's just the way it is. And I go with the, you know what? They didn't shoot at Tom because he was with Liz, and they don't want to shoot Liz. So.
Right. And it could be that they were just shooting a cover fire because you never saw people firing back. You did see one soldier fall right by the car, but it could have just been cover fire to make sure nobody was coming at him.
Could have been, sure.
Solomon has the back door but left the front door completely unguarded. How do these people come up with or solve complicated plots but always leave an escape route? Anyways, I can't wait for them to resolve this hanging thread next week, as it was nice to see the Blacklist back after the almost 2-month break. Cheers, Andrew.
All right, and now we've got a thanks, Andrew. Thanks for that. And now we've got a speak pipe from Rory.
What's up, Troy? What's up, Aaron? Finally, I have come back. Aaron named that movie. I want to talk about part one of Mr. Solomon. Thought it was a good episode, a solid episode. Nice setup for what's sure to be a great episode next week, hopefully. Loved the side conversations between our characters, Cooper and Liz, Wrestler and Liz, Aram and Tom. Love that aspect of it. Things I didn't like, as somebody pointed out to me, did they really have to go to the church to get Liz? Couldn't they have just snagged her anytime when she was picking up flowers or the dry cleaning? It makes sense. Really enjoyed the introduction of what's hopefully the new big bad. Started thinking about that. What if her mother has been the red herring all along? Because we go again with the premise that Red doesn't lie to Liz, and he keeps insisting that she's dead. So either Red really believes she's dead, doesn't know she's still alive and she's coming, or it's actually her father, who he's never said was really dead. He just gave the yes in the finale. So, interested to see where it goes. Love to hear your thoughts. Great podcast, as always, guys. Talk to you guys soon.
Some good points. Some good points. Yeah, I do think... The one thing I didn't get was, how did they even know they were getting married? Because it was a last-minute thing that they just put together.
Which is why I was going with that whole hotel scene and Samar covering the door, and Samar is Red's inside person. So, it goes back to... Like, when Red said, all of this is on me, does he mean, like, all this is on me that your life is crap? Or all this is on me because I'm trying to kidnap you because I don't want you to marry Tom? I mean, again, the way they write the lines, it could be taken five different ways.
Yeah, I mean, that was probably the only thing, and I just let it go because it's TV, honestly. But I do think, like, the wedding was put together that very day, and this plan was put together that very day, so it seems like a whole lot of, including putting Rowan in there to throw everybody off, that seems like a lot of coincidence to happen in the same day. But
we just happened to get married on a day that a nuclear missile is going to be transported across town.
And it was last minute, and somehow Solomon found out about it. That's really my
thing. On the same day he was being prisoner transported to be executed by the
exactly.
Cabal.
Coincidence loves the blacklist, but hey, man, it's TV. What are you going to do?
Right.
Crystal, I love the Rom to pieces in this episode. The moment between Liz and Cooper was super sweet. Boz better just have a flesh wound because he's the man. The way Red can call what's going on never disappoints. The million-dollar question now, who wants Liz this time?
That is true. And I love how everybody keeps loving Boz.
He's great, man. He's great.
We're just worried about him. I got to say, I love when Red and Tom work together.
You didn't say
from
who it
was TJ.
From.
I was getting okay. there. I was getting there.
All right.
TJ said, I got to love when Red and Tom work together. They're a great team, and exclusively because it's for Liz's safety. Or is Absolutely. It because they're daddy and son?
Oh, my God. Judy, this was an awesome episode. So much emotion revealed by so many people. Lizzie was very brave. Red, so very sad. And Red knows who is behind this. He knows. And it's not Lizzie's mom.
Right. It's only going to get... This is only getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole misdirection concept here, you know, was this a red herring? Like I just said, was this a red herring all along? Do you think maybe Red set this all up? Because Red's the only one that knew about the wedding.
It's possible only because he's the only one that knew about the wedding. And he didn't want her to marry Tom. That is possible. Yes. But would he really let Boz get hit?
Boz was outside when he got hit. He came into the church wounded.
And he also let Liz and Tom leave together. So, I don't know. I mean, I think it's a stretch, but I could see what your point is. Sure.
Okay. Diane said, love the scene where Liz is talking about how Tom has changed, and we're seeing him wrap up and dispose of the body at the same time as the overlay.
Mm-hmm. I like that. It was well played. Nate, after a long wait, we get the wedding that was to be, but does anyone feel that Red is losing his touch? Red didn't see Solomon escaping until after it happened, even though he has a seat at the table. He didn't know the nuke was a ploy, or that the real end game was kidnapping Liz until the last minute. And the big question, does Red really believe that Liz's mom is dead?
I'm assuming so, because he said to Liz, your mom is dead. That would mean he would lie, because it was a very blatant statement.
Yeah, I think he does think she is dead.
Red. You know, Katerina Rostova is gone.
Yep.
Which is why he has that reaction when she dyes her hair blonde, right? Like, oh my gosh, I'm seeing a ghost.
Yep. And I think that we're going to find out that it's not Liz's mom. It's actually after her, like we said.
Right.
You got the next one.
Craig said, I like Tom so much. Hatred for Lizzie just continues to fester and grow. I'd rather hear Laurel from Arrow read emo poetry to suicidal teens than hear one word from Lizzie's bipolar portrayal of talking beige paint.
Okay.
Wow.
Even though I don't agree with you, I'm applauding that because it was so well worded.
Red's line delivery is like hearing good cognac poured into a warmed Cristal glass. Lizzie's every word is room temperature tab in a Dixie cup. Wow. Wow. You can't have a tab unless you pay for it. Aram is king. Dembe keeps coming back every episode. There, that covers my current thoughts. Love the show, but have never disliked a TV character more in my life. Can't see that changing, but I sure hope it does. So at least Craig's optimistic.
Yeah, it feels optimistic, doesn't
comparing
it?
Comparing her to Tab. Holy crap.
Wow, man. Don't ever compare somebody to Tab. That's just not fair. It's just not fair. I really want to know how many chemicals are in Tab. I always wanted to do some kind of scientific experiment. I think that stuff would light on fire if you took a match to it.
Totally true.
Yeah. Paula, great episode. Would have been better if I didn't know about the spinoff with Tom, but still a nail biter. Agreed, Paula. I really do. The music was spot on. The song during the shootout was well-placed and had me chuckling when I shouldn't have been. Solomon had presence almost as good as Red. Such a great show. That's a good way to end on Intel. Good job.
Okay,
thanks,
so
everybody.
The last statement on the spinoff, I think this is exactly where I think my hatred's so deep. You know,
hatred's so deep. Don't be a Craig.
Frustration. frustration is that...
We love Craig, by the way.
Yeah, I was okay with the spinoff news and Famke Janssen getting the lead role because they're not on the current show. It's when Ryan Eggold's casting announcement was made that I started to be like, oh, man, come on, you know?
Yeah, it takes away from the wonder.
It does.
The wah, 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 wonder. But on the plus side, we know we're going to get more Ryan Eggold. So that's
right.
Good news.
Because we like that's Ryan. Ryan's a great... The character's awesome. The Tom character is awesome.
As long as they don't get married, I'm all good with Tom.
Right.
Yep. They get married, then I'm going to want Tom dead.
There you
so,
go.
Yeah, this is important. Don't do it.
And if you think about it, you know, with Tom's character being kind of owned and babied and controlled by one Daniel Knopf, you know, we could get a little carnival action with this new spinoff. It'd be kind of interesting.
I don't know what that means.
You just said it's going to be good if Daniel... wants to stay with the Tom character.
So Carnival automatically means it's going to be good. All right.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was a good show.
It was a good show. I was trying to see what your point, what that analogy meant.
Maybe Daniel would write more stuff for the spinoff. That's all.
I want more twisted Daniel is what I want.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's what I want. Just, you know what? John and John, Eisendrath and Bokenkamp, here's what you guys got to do. Just give Daniel the keys and say, you can write one episode and you can do whatever you want. No matter what standards and practices say, I think we will probably get one of the craziest, most insane Blacklist episodes ever.
But you still have standards and practices. That's the problem.
You know what? Send them the wrong episode. Send them a fake episode. Do a completely fake episode and send that to them. Be like, oh, yeah, we'll let that play. And then whatever Daniel actually wrote ends up airing. I think it would be fantastic.
That'd be funny.
That would be great. I think it's going to do it for this episode. It's been fun talking to Troy again. We haven't bonded as much, although we did a couple of remake episodes and got a lot of remake this movie right episodes, so we've got that too, but we got a lot of Blacklist coming up.
Yeah,
are you excited?
I am super excited for this final run.
Do you think the season's going to end fantastic?
I still am standing by that statement of Alias Season 3, Fringe Season 3, Lost Season 3. This is going to be off the chain.
Okay. Well, we're going to find out. We're coming up to it. That's going to conclude this episode. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TheBlacklistGSM, where we live tweet during the East Coast feed, and we use the show's hashtag, TheBlacklist. We also have a Facebook group. Just search for The Blacklist Exposed and join us for the fun.
Intel from you is what we want. We have a few ways you can submit intel here into the agency. You can interact with us on Tumblr, Instagram, or as always, visit TheBlacklistExposed.com to use our send voicemail button right from the website or your smartphone.
And we'll hear you just like we heard Rory.
Yes.
So be sure to do that. You can also subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. Please leave us a review. It really does help the show. Or listen from the website if you're really on the go. Make sure you download our app for iOS and Android powered by Spreaker. You will also find all the intel and analysis about this episode for Mr. Solomon by visiting theblacklistexposed.com. Big thanks for listening, guys. We really appreciate it. We know it's a little bit longer of an episode. Well, I don't know. We talk a lot.
Yeah, it's pretty long.
There's a lot
There's a
to
lot.
Talk about.
Yeah, we've gone for 6 weeks.
Absolutely. I'm going to tell you. Let me tell you about what I did over the... No, I'm just kidding. All right. Don't forget to answer our profiling question. Who hired Solomon? Who hired Solomon? Who was in that car? We want to know. We want to know what you think. All right, guys. That's going to do it for Troy and I. Make sure to come back next week.
We'll see you later.
Until next time, I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs. That's at Troy Heinrichs on Twitter. And if you want to learn more about me, just visit, about.me/Troy Heinrichs.
And I'm Agent Aaron Peterson. You can hear me talking about movies and TV on the Hollywood Outsider podcast, as well as Remake This Movie Right. We are available at thehollywoodoutsider.com or on Twitter at @H_Outsider. Be sure to subscribe, download the app, submit your feedback, but most importantly, keep yourself off of
the blacklist.
The Blacklist Exposed is a Golden Spiral Media production. Find more of our great podcasts at goldenspiralmedia.com/podcasts.